Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to start this morning by reading a passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 5. It's a passage that I'm sure that most of us are all familiar with. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they're going to be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I want to start this morning by telling you a deer hunting story. I love to deer hunt. I love deer hunting almost as much as I like beating Linda in Cranium. I can't figure out which one I like the best, but I think deer hunting would probably fall first. And you know, for people that deer hunt, one of the best days of the year is that Saturday before Thanksgiving, because that's the day you can get the big rifle out and go out there and deer hunt. Before that, you either have to use a bow or a muzzle loader, and those are a little bit tougher, but it's better, you know, there in the middle of November when it's cool outside and the boy deer are looking for girlfriends and they're just running all over the woods, and it's just an exciting time to be out there hunting. Well, this last opening day, you know, I was excited as I always am. I got up that morning about 4:30 or so, went to my closet, gathered all my stuff up, threw it in the truck, and where I hunt, out by Miss Ondine's house and Lee and Barbara's, takes me about 25 minutes or so to get out there, you know, and then once I get there, I got to gather all that stuff together and get my tree stand on my back and get my fanny pack and my backpack and my gun and all that stuff, my flashlight, start heading out to the woods, and it takes 10 or 15 minutes to get to the place where I like to go. Got to find a good straight tree, you know, so I can hook my tree stand and climb up in that tree. So by the time I get up in the tree and I'm ready to hunt, I've probably got an hour and a half invested in this morning. And you want to get out there and you want to be ready to go before it starts getting light outside, because that's when you're most likely to see a deer. So that's what I did this morning. I got out there, I got my tree stand, I climbed up in the tree. The last thing I do is I tie a rope to my gun as I'm going up in the tree stand, and I pull the gun up to me, the last thing. Lay it across my lap, get everything in order, and then I load the gun and I'm ready to hunt. Okay, so that's what I did this morning. Got my gun, I picked it up, I pulled my bullet out, and I had the wrong gun. I had grabbed the wrong gun, so the bullet that I had in this hand didn't go in the gun that I had in my lap. So I didn't have any way to hunt that morning, unless I was going to throw the bullets at the deer, and I don't think that was going to work. So the problem that I had that morning was I didn't really focus on what I needed to do. Normally what I do when I'm going to go hunting is the day before. The night before, I get all my stuff out. And, you know, Peggy makes fun of me because I actually put the clothes on sometimes, you know, and make sure I've got everything I need before I go hunting that next day. And I'm a little more focused. Well, this last year I wasn't focused on what I needed to do. And that's what I want to talk about this morning with my church family, is just focus, okay? I think that, you know, we're at a point where we could use a little focus. We've had a lot of stuff going on. A lot of things are happening right now. We're trying to select new shepherds. We're, you know, hopefully down the road looking for a new minister. The face of this church is changing. A lot of things are going on, and that can be distracting a little bit, and it can take our mind off of what we should really be focused on. So I want to kind of talk about that just for a few minutes this morning. First thing, though, I want to talk about are things that we shouldn't focus on. Because I think if we're going to focus on some things, we ought to maybe think about things that we do put a lot of time and effort into that maybe we don't need to. And first on that list is ourselves. Okay, I think we don't need to focus on ourselves. We don't need to focus on what makes us comfortable or what we desire or what we want. You know, and that's kind of like what a lot of people would say is human nature, to put ourselves first. But that's not what the Word says. In Philippians chapter 2, if you'll read this scripture with me, Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. So first on my list, I've got three things here not to focus on. First on my list is let's not focus on ourselves. The second thing that I don't think we need to focus on is just being right about everything. Now, I want to be real clear here. When it comes to our salvation and believing in Jesus Christ and He's the only way, those are not the things that I'm talking about. We need to be right about that stuff. But you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of other things that we kind of get tied up in sometimes that the Bible may not be real specific on, real clear on. There may be some area, it's a gray area there, or a matter of opinion comes into play. Those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about right now. In Romans chapter 3, and we'll look at the first part and the last part of this little section, he starts it off, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." And then that last verse in 27, "Where then is boasting? Is excluded on what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith." The whole reason I bring that up is when, you know, we're going to be saved by our faith in Jesus Christ and our belief in Jesus Christ. I don't think when we get to heaven we're going to have a questionnaire and we have to get a certain number of these things right in order to get in. We're solely going to be saved on our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ. So that's second on my list of things not to dwell on. And then the third one is just the past. You know, I think it's prudent for us to start thinking about the future and thinking about going forward. In Acts chapter 20, Paul says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Paul says, my task is testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And I think we can't do that if we're looking back over our shoulder. I remember, I don't remember if it was the Olympics or what, but I remember watching a bicycle race on TV one time. And the guy that was winning the race was 30 or 40 yards ahead of everybody else. And there was a pack behind him, and he had a good lead on him. And he was coming up to the finish line, and for some reason he decided to look back over his shoulder and see where everybody was, I guess. And in doing that, he lost a little control. I don't know if he hit something, but he wrecked. And he crashed right there just before the finish line, and all the other guys passed him up, and he didn't win the race. You can't win a race by looking back. Now, what about the rest of my story that I started with, the deer hunting story? As Paul Harvey might say, the rest of the story. Well, go back with me. I'm sitting up in the tree stand. It's still the perfect time of the morning, but I've got the wrong gun in my lap. And I can't hunt. I can't do what I was there to do that morning. And I could have kind of got down on myself and said, you know what an idiot you are, which, by the way, I think I did say that. But I could have dwelt on that, dwelt on the past, you know, could have said, why didn't you get up and get ready and do what you should have done and had a little more focus? But instead, I just went ahead and climbed back down out of the tree, went to my truck, got the right gun. I drove home 25 minutes, drove back to the woods 25. So I put another hour and a half into this, And by the time I got out there, it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, which is too late, right, Peter? You don't want to be getting in the woods at 8 o'clock in the morning. But I went ahead and I climbed back up in my tree, and I'm not kidding. I was sitting there 5 minutes, and an 8-point buck walked right by me. And I harvested him. I got him that morning. Okay, so if I had focused on the past, and if I had focused on all the things I've done wrong, and not went ahead and looked forward and kept going, I wouldn't have had a successful hunt that morning. Well, let's move on and look at some things that we should focus on. And that's the reason that I picked this verse in Matthew chapter 5 to talk about. That first part we call the Beatitudes. And I've got five quick things I want to look at there. I'm not going to talk about all of them. But when I look at those, you know, I think about this is what Jesus would want us to focus on, I think. Think about that setting. Jesus had started his ministry. He had started healing people. People were starting to follow him and see what was going on with this guy. And he had crowds that were following him around. And he took this opportunity in Matthew chapter 7 just to stop on that hillside and talk to people. And I think if Jesus walked in here right now, he'd say a lot of the same things that he said to those people. They're still just as important. And there's some characteristics that I want us to look at just for a second here that I think we need to focus on. At first, he starts off and he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And the next verse says, "Blessed are those who mourn." And I think we all understand that Jesus isn't saying he wants us to walk around with our heads down and sad all the time and downcast and upset. I don't think that's what he's saying. And to help me kind of better understand maybe what he was saying, I looked at a couple of other versions. And the New Living Translation, it says, "Blessed are those who are poor and realize their need for him." God's Word translation says, "Recognize they are spiritually helpless." Blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. And then the New Century Version says, "Blessed are those who realize their spiritual poverty." So the first thing on my list of things that we need to focus on, I think, is to realize and not forget that we need God above all things. Those verses are telling us to realize we have sin in our life, to realize that we can't do it by ourselves, and that we need God above everything else. The second thing on my list is blessed are the gentle. And you know, I was thinking about how in the world do I get up there and talk about gentleness, because we know what gentleness is, right? But I was kind of given a good picture of that this week, and I see Katie's here today with Jonna Lee. And we went and visited Katie after she had her baby, I think it was on Monday. And to watch a new mom holding a new baby, that's the picture of gentleness. The way that she protects that baby and holds it in a way so that it's not going to get hurt. The way that she talks to that baby softly and with love. And even if the baby's crying and you try to hush the baby, you know, to do that softly and tenderly. What if we treated each other that way, you know, and everybody else that we deal with? What if we handled them in a way where we didn't want to hurt them and we wanted to protect them? And what if we did have a conflict with them and we spoke to them softly and gently and in a way that showed that we really did care about them and love them? So that's the second thing on my list of things to focus on as we go forward, is just having that heart of gentleness. The third thing that I pulled out of here is he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And I put a note on there, real hunger consumes everything. And you know, I don't guess physically I've ever really been hungry. Now, you can tell by looking at me, I don't miss a whole lot of meals. The people that Jesus was talking to, though, I think a lot of them probably had a good feeling for what it really meant to be hungry and to really be thirsty. I remember a show I saw on TV. I think it's called I Shouldn't Be Alive. Maybe some of you guys have seen that. And it's about different people that have been stranded or put in very perilous situations, and they lived through it. Well, there was a story that I saw one night. A couple of guys got stranded on a little island, which was nothing more than a rock out in the ocean, and they didn't have any water. And after a couple of days, they were so thirsty that that thirst consumed them completely. Every ounce of their energy and everything that they were about was about trying to find some water. They were digging up plants and trying to just suck a little bit of moisture out of them. Their whole existence was about finding some water and quenching that thirst. And I think what Jesus is saying is he wants us to have that same desire for him, for righteousness and for Him and His love. And there's a good, I guess a good way for us to kind of test that with ourselves. What are we hungry for? And answer these questions. What consumes our time? What consumes our thoughts? And what consumes our resources? And I think whatever we answer to those questions, that's what we're really hungry and thirsty for. And I would encourage us and hope that we can pray and ask the Lord to help us to transfer that hunger and thirst into just to Him and His righteousness. Fourth on my list I pulled out was, blessed are the merciful and blessed are the peacemakers. And as I thought about that, I thought, what does the world think about that? You know, what does the world think about people that are merciful and people that are peacemakers? Well, this is what I came to mind. This is what the world thinks about. The world thinks about getting revenge. They don't think about being merciful, about getting even, about, you know, getting whatever my rights are. That's kind of what the world would teach us. I've not seen many Sylvester Stallone movies or Harrison Ford or Mel Gibson where they're this merciful, meek, peacemaking guy. You know, they're always the revenge guy going out and making things right the tough way. Well, there's a verse that I wanted us to look at in James where James said, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. He's saying, speak and act like you're going to be given mercy, because we are. We are given mercy. And then he says, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. There's another verse in Luke that talks about, if we're not willing to be forgiving people, God's not going to be willing to forgive us. And here he's saying, if you're not going to be a merciful person, then you're going to be judged without mercy. And I know that I need mercy when I'm judged, and I think we would all agree that we do. So fourth on my list was, blessed are the merciful. And then the last one, he ends that section that I read earlier by telling them that they're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And you know, there's a lot of different ways you can look at that verse that says we're the salt of the earth. But the simplest way to me to think about that is that salt makes a difference. Salt makes a difference. And you know that if you've ever dug into a can of like salt-free peanut butter. It's nasty. Or salt-free green beans. You know, you accidentally buy that at the store, didn't realize it. Salt makes all that stuff better. And what I would encourage us to do is, whatever we're involved in, whatever it is, if we're involved in our community, in our politics here, if we're in Little League, if we're in the schools or the hospital, whatever we're in, we as Christian people ought to make that better, whatever we're involved in. And then he talks about being light and how light overcomes darkness. And you know, in this world, there's a lot of darkness. I think we would agree with that. There's a lot of people that are hurting. There's a lot of sin in this world. And Jesus said, you're the light. And we have the light in God's Word. And our job is to help people understand how to get rid of that sin in their life and how they can take care of their sin problems and those dark things in their lives. We are the light. We're like the flashlight in a dark room of sinful people. And God gave us that. Now, I think we have a good example of that I wanted to point out real quick right here at Forest Mill that I've been really excited about. And it's our new class that's starting over here in the Bob. Andy and Cheryl kind of got it going, a young couples class. John, Luke, and Danielle, and Nick and Lindsay, and Marcus and Courtney, a lot of those guys are getting together, and they're spending time fellowshipping with each other. They're studying the Word together. They're getting to know each other. They've volunteered to help with Upward and become a part of that ministry. You know, Andy talked to me about maybe they could get involved in a mission as a class. You know, they're excited and they're doing stuff. And I think what they're doing is they're being the salt of the earth. They're making a difference. And they're being the light of the world. And they're trying to show people that light. So I'm excited about that ministry. And I think the rest of us maybe ought to take a look at that and kind of follow their lead. I think they're setting a good example for us. Well, as I get ready to wrap up here, we talked about a few things there from the Beatitudes, and I just pulled a few of those out, but I think it's really cool when you look at what happens. Jesus finished every one of those when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. But then he finished it with things like, because theirs is the kingdom of God, because they're going to be comforted, because they're going to inherit the earth, because they shall be satisfied, because they shall receive mercy, because they're going to see God, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and because great is their reward in heaven. That's a pretty good list. Pretty good stuff right there. And I think that's a good reason for us to try to do what Jesus encouraged us there in Matthew and get our focus on those things. Well, as I wrap up, I want to think just for a second about what did Jesus focus on? And I think Jesus obviously did a good job with all of those other things. He perfected those things. But the main thing that Jesus focused on was us. That's the reason that he came. That's the reason that he lived on this earth, and the reason that he died was for you and me sitting in this room. And I use this verse a lot, and I've probably used it almost every time I've been up here, but I'll probably continue to use it. Romans chapter 5 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be will we be saved from God's wrath through him?" That's what it was all about, and that's why Jesus came. So as we close this morning, if you don't know Jesus or you would like to know more about him, we're going to sing a song here in a second, and you have an opportunity to come forward and let that be known. If you're sitting here this morning and feel like you would like to have some prayers maybe to help with the focus and help with the focus of this body, we have that opportunity, or any other need that you might have. I'm going to ask you to stand and sing with Tommy here, and you can come forward. Thanks a lot.